So God had made covenants with Noah and with Abraham, and then he made a covenant with the children of Israel. And this covenant that he made with the nation of Israel after leaving Egypt, it had laws, it had commandments, statutes, ordinances, judgments. It had things that the people were required to do and things that the people were forbidden to do. And along with everything that they were supposed to observe and to do, there was a blessing to them if they would continue to do it. And there were curses if they would turn away from God and disobey Him. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 28 is the chapter that deals with the blessings and the curse. And we'll see that the blessings are wonderful, but they are conditional. Okay? And the curses are just horrible. And it's going to take a strong stomach just to read through it. But the curse is also conditional upon the people turning away from God and worshiping other gods and ignoring His word. So we're going to look at this, and then we're going to see how these things relate to us in the body of Christ. Okay? So Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." So it starts with an if. There are two words used for if in this chapter. This one is a word used for conditional clauses. Okay? It's the Hebrew word im. And it's used if, this is the condition. So the condition for the blessings would be that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So they need to hearken and hearken diligently to observe and to do all his commandments. Okay? Hearken, observe, and do. And if they would do this, then says the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, he uses the pronoun thee and thou throughout here, but it's talking to the whole nation as one. Okay? He's not talking to individual within the nation. He's talking to the whole nation as if it were one man, as if it were Jacob, as if it were Israel. These are all the descendants of Israel, and he's addressing them as one. He uses the singular. Okay? Verse 2 says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now, the word blessings is the Hebrew word barakah. So we saw that there were two main words for blessing. One was barak, barakah is a form of that. The other one was esher, which means to be happy. This is the word barakah. It means a spoken blessing that will be backed up by action on God's part. So he's blessing the nation of Israel, and he is making sure that all these blessings come upon them. And there's another if here, but it's a different word for if. It's the Hebrew word ki. The other one, remember, was im. So the main condition is that they would hearken diligently, observe, and to do whatever God said. This word, if in verse 2, is more in the sense of because. It's a cause and effect. And it's usually translated because 460 times. It's translated when 245 times. It's translated if 166 times. But it has the sense of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee because thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Okay? You do this, you accept the condition, and then because you're listening to God and doing what he says, as a result of that, these blessings are going to come on you and they're going to overtake you. And then it lists a number of blessings in the next few verses, and it uses the word barak here. It says, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." And really, as far as living arrangements, those were the only two options. You're either in the city, where you're outside the city, right? So whether you live inside the city that has walls around it and is protected, or if you're in the open field, you'll be blessed either way, because the blessing doesn't come from the safety of the city wall. The blessing comes from God, the one that you're listening to and observing and obeying his word. Verse 4 says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. That's your children. They will be blessed because you're obeying God. So blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. That's your crops. The crops will grow. Your gardens and your farms will produce because you're obeying God. And the fruit of thy cattle. So all your animals will be blessed and they'll have lots of children. It says the increase of thy kine, that's your cows and oxen, and the flocks of thy sheep. So the word cattle here really includes both the cows and the sheep and any other animals. But then he specifically says your cows and bulls and oxen, they're going to increase, and the flocks of your sheep are going to increase as a result of you obeying God. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. The basket is what you put your grain in. The word store means your kneading troughs. So you gather your grain and then you grind it and then you make bread with it. So your basic food, your bread, is going to be blessed. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So whether you're coming or going, you're going to be blessed. And then he describes some of these blessings. He said, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So if they attack you, you stand your ground. God's going to help you. They're going to scatter in seven different directions. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. That's your barns where you store your food. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto. So whatever work you're doing will be blessed by God. You'll have good success. You won't be wasting your time and your effort and your energy. The things that you do will produce good, the things that they're intended to produce. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And at this point, they had not yet entered the promised land, but they would within the next couple of months. They would enter in, and God would give them the land, okay? God had already promised it to them. He had promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he had promised it to these people that are being addressed here. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. So you'll have a special relationship with God. You're going to be very close to him. He's going to treat you differently from all the other nations because you're obeying him, right? And again, use it to that word if, that means because. He's going to establish you in holy people unto himself as he hath sworn unto thee, if or because thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and because you walk in his ways. You're doing what he says, you're going to have that special relationship with him. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. That's Yahweh. See all capital letters. That's Yahweh or Jehovah, you see. And they shall be afraid of thee. And that can be, you know, in a bad sense or in a good sense, that the people will have great respect for you. They'll have reverence for you because they see that you have a special relationship with God. Now, if they're enemies of you and they try to attack you, they will be afraid of you because God's going to be fighting for you. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous. Remember the first use of blessing in Genesis was you're going to be fruitful and multiply, right? So here he spells it out. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, that you'll have a lot of stuff that's good. In the fruit of thy body, you'll have big families, lots of children. In the fruit of thy cattle, your animals. And in the fruit of thy ground, the things that your plant are going to grow and produce. In the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And again, he's reminding them that he's going to be blessing them really as a result of promises that he made to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But for them to receive these blessings, they have to keep the condition of hearkening diligently, observing, and doing the word of God. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season. So when it rains, that's like the treasure of God being bestowed upon the ground. It's a good thing when it rains, especially when it rains in its season. There's a proper time for it to rain. In the land of Israel, there were certain times where it always rained every year that was beneficial to their crops and to their animals. There were certain times when God said, it's going to have a thunderstorm and harvest. That was a bad time for it to rain. Remember when Samuel had made Saul king and he said, God is displeased that you asked for a king. And he's going to demonstrate his displeasure by making it rain really hard at harvest time, where it's going to ruin your crops. So there was a proper time for it to rain in season in that land. That was like the treasure of God being poured out upon them. And that would happen as long as they would obey him. It would affect the weather. So let's read this again. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And he says, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So that's an indicator that their financial situation will always be good. They will have money to lend and then get interest from the people that they lend to. They won't have to borrow. They'll always have enough and more. So they'll be good financially. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. That's a good figure of speech. That means you're going to be on top. You're not going to be on bottom. And thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. So he explains what he means by that. If, again, that's because that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. And that was his main thing he was always concerned about, that his people would not go after other gods. Because if they're praying to other gods, God can't answer those prayers, can he? If they're praying to Baal, for example, or some other god to bless them, God can't bless them because they would attribute that to Baal or whoever they were praying to. God wanted his people always to be relying upon him. And we'll be reading about the curse next because he made it very clear that I'm going to bless you in all these ways, your families, your animals, your crops, your finances, the success of the work that you do, as long as you listen to me. Pay attention to what I tell you, observe to do it, carry it out, and that you don't turn to other gods. Now, verse 15 starts the curse. But it shall come to pass if, and that's that conditional word, im, if, under this condition, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments. So if you do the opposite of the condition for the blessing, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. So it won't matter where you are. It won't matter whether you think you're being protected by the city walls, or if you think you're safer out in the open, you won't be safe. You're going to be cursed wherever you go. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, thy kneading trough. You're going to lack bread. You're going to go hungry. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Your children will be cursed. And the fruit of thy land, your crops will be cursed. The increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep, they're going to diminish. They're not going to be healthy. They're not going to do well. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. going to get you both ways. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. This word cursing is me'era. It means an execration, so it's going to be bad. Going to be speaking bad. He's going to be making sure the bad things happen to you. Vexation is trouble, tumult, confusion, turmoil. Rebuke. You're always going to be told that you're wrong. In all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. It's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And with the sword, that's the enemy. And with blasting, that's blight on your crops, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. It means it's not going to rain. When you need it to rain, your crops are not going to grow. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. So you're going to be defeated and you're going to be taken away from your own land. And thy carcass, your dead body, shall be meat or food unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. That's a botch is like a boil, very painful. And with emerods, those are hemorrhoids. And with the scab, that's scurvy. And with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed, no matter how hard you scratch it. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled, not in a good way. We think of if someone's spoiled, that means they're treated so well. You know, spoiled means to be robbed. You're going to be robbed. People are going to take what you have evermore. And no one shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, get engaged to a nice young girl, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and shall not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass, that's your donkey, shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand, nothing you can do about it. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad, that's like go insane, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord thy God shall lead thee. That means they're going to say things like, you don't want to wind up like Israel. You know, that's what it means to be a proverb and a byword. Say, look what happened to them. You don't want that happen to you. We're in verse 38. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit before it's ripe. Can't do anything with it. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And all thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed for ever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. He said, this is what you should be doing. You should be serving the Lord your God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. But instead, you're going to have all this poverty and defeat and sickness. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. They're just going to be mean to everybody. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks, or thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest. So you might flee to the city, thinking we'll be safe here. The walls are going to come down, like Jericho, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates. That means they're going to wait outside until you starve. In all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother. He used to be a fine young gentleman, now his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and for tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, that's Yahweh thy Elohim, Yahweh or Jehovah thy Elohim, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. That doesn't mean they're really going to be great. That means people are going to wonder, how the heck did all this happen? And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So everything that's written in here and everything that's not, they're all going to get you. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear, be afraid, day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again, with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. You'll be put on the auction block, and they're saying, we don't even want them. So that's the curse of the law. And it would be God's prerogative as far as how much of this he would bring upon Israel at any given time. But if you read the history, these things did happen to them. But God always warned them first, repeatedly. He warned them by sending prophets to them saying, look, this is going to happen. And eventually, and Jeremiah was the prophet that said, look, you know, this is all going to happen. First, after the kingdom was divided north and south, all this came upon the northern kingdom when the Assyrians brought them captive and scattered them, and then the Babylonians took Judah. But even before that, they had the times where the Midianites conquered them and made slaves of them, and then the Philistines had the upper hand, and one after another. And it was always because the people neglected the covenant that they were under. Because you'd have one generation and they might say, well, I'd like to check out and see what our neighbors are doing. What gods are they worshiping? And then check it out and get into that stuff and stop reading the Word of God and stop obeying the Word of God. At other times, you just might have a generation that didn't teach their children, and the children would grow up not even knowing that they were under a covenant with God and just doing whatever the heck they wanted. But God said, look, this is a multi-generational covenant. This is with Israel until I say it's over. Jesus Christ said, look, not one jot or tittle is going to fail from the law until all be fulfilled, right? And that included the blessing and the curse of the law. Now, in Galatians, we have to go, we can't just leave it like this. But Galatians was all about a group of Gentiles in the region of Galatia that the Apostle Paul had witnessed to. They got born again. And then another group of people came in. I believe there were Pharisees that had believed in Jesus Christ, but they still had that law mindset. And they came in and talked to the people there when Paul was gone and said, look, if you really want all the blessings of God, you have to go under the law. You have to get circumcised, become a proselyte, and you get all these blessings of God that are under the law. But Paul's writing back to them and say, look, this is not what you should be doing. You are under grace. The law has been completed by Jesus Christ. It's been finished. He's the end of the law for all them that believe, as far as righteousness is concerned. You don't have to go under the law. In fact, you shouldn't go under the law. You shouldn't get circumcised in order to make yourselves righteous before God. You should just believe in Jesus Christ, and that is enough. And I'm going to read part of chapter 3 with you, and starting in verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? You know, he said, we told you about Jesus Christ. We made it very plain what he went through to suffer and die in your place so that you could be saved just by believing in him and his sacrifice for you. And then you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? I was with you there when that happened. When you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, was it by the works of the law? Or did you just hear the word that I spoke to you and believed? Yeah, it was by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? It's by the hearing of faith, right? It's by hearing and believing. Hearing what God has to say now, and believing it now. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He didn't do the works of the law, because the law was not in effect yet then. If the law had been in effect, Abraham would have done it. But God judged Abraham righteous before the law. Why? Because he believed. He said, look at the stars. See if you can number them. So shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God, and God knew that he believed it, because he looks at the heart of a man, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, of believing, the same are the children of Abraham. We saw that very clearly the last few weeks when we looked at the blessing of Abraham. They which are of believing, the same are the children of Abraham. Okay? Because we follow in the footsteps of his believing. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the nations, the Gentiles, through faith, through believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That was part of the blessing of Abraham, that in thee, Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. So then they which be of faith or of believing are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And we just read the curse, so we know how serious and horrible that curse is. As many as are of the works of the law, if that's what you're doing to make yourself righteous, then you have to understand that the law includes a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Right? Deuteronomy 28. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith or by believing. That's from Habakkuk, right? The just shall live by faith, by believing. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So under the law, you can't just believe once and say, okay, that's it. You had to keep doing it every day. You had to every day keep doing what the law said to do. You know, making sure you didn't do what the law said not to do. Otherwise, the fact that you believe wouldn't matter if you didn't do what the law said to do. Now look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed is ex agorazo, to buy up, to ransom, to rescue from loss. Okay? To redeem by payment of a price, to recover from the power of another, to ransom or buy off. Metaphorically, of Christ freeing the elect from the dominion of the Mosaic law at the price of his vicarious death. Second definition, to buy up for oneself or for one's use. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. So that's used in another context. But it's the first definition, to redeem, that we've been freed by a payment of a price. Okay? Christ hath redeemed us. He's freed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Okay? He was made a curse. And that word for is that Greek word hooper, which means in place of. Okay? Hooper means directly on top of, so that if you're looking down, the thing that's on top takes the place of the thing that's underneath. Okay? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He was made a curse in our place. He was lifted up. We confessed him as Lord. We put ourselves directly under him. You see that? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That is from Deuteronomy 21. Let's go there quickly and then come back here to finish up. Deuteronomy 21. I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. 22 says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. That's kelala. He's vilified. He's accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So when Jesus Christ was killed, he was hung on a tree, right? And his body was taken off, and he was buried before sunset. He was buried that day. So he became a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It says, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. Let me see how the Brenton translation reads this. The Brenton is translated from the Greek Septuagint. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but ye shall by all means bury it in that day. For everyone that is hanged on a tree is cursed of God. And ye shall by no means defile the land which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance. Okay. Now back in Galatians chapter 3, we were in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us. That's past tense. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us in our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that the blessing of the law might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing of Abraham upon the Gentiles includes the promise of the Spirit. And I'm going to end here tonight, because next week we'll finish up the study of the blessings of God by looking at the spiritual blessings that it talks about in the book of Ephesians. Okay? So we've seen that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. It says we didn't look at that in detail, but we will. But we looked at what a blessing is. We saw that a blessing is spoken by one individual to another with the intention of backing up that blessing. So when God said to the animals, be fruitful and multiply, well, they did, right? When God told the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply, that was how he blessed them. There's billions of us now, right? He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And he prospered him, right? He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'm going to bless everyone that blesses you. I'm going to curse everyone that curses you. And in you, in Abraham, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. So God gave Abraham this great blessing, which was passed to his son Isaac and to his grandson Jacob and to that whole family and down through Christ. And now everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives the blessing of Abraham. But we'll see that this blessing of Abraham includes spiritual blessings, not only the material blessings. Okay? We do get plenty of material blessings, but we get blessings that even Israel as a nation, if they kept the law, didn't necessarily get. And it's a wonderful thing that God has done for us. And there's no curse. We are under no curse. So the blessings that we have, they're only conditional upon our believing in Jesus Christ. They're not conditional upon us every day doing something like they had to do under the law. But we'll see a lot of these things when we look at that next week. Okay.
Hey, Greg.
Yes, Sid.
So one of the cool things about that section in Deuteronomy, as well as other sections, is that that is all prophetic. Mm-hmm. And one of the things it says in Deuteronomy is the proof of a prophet or a prophecy is that it comes to pass. And all those things came to pass more than one time even.
Yeah.
And so it's a proof of the word, the validity and the truth of the word in itself. And I was thinking about that because the word of God can only be measured of itself, but everything else is measured by the word. And you can't measure the word from outside analysis or sources. Now, sometimes history will confirm the word. Mm-hmm. Usually it will confirm the word eventually, one way or the other. Because a lot of times critics will say, oh, that can't be true, or the dating is wrong on this or that. But eventually it comes to pass that it was true. And
yeah, because
I thought it was pretty cool.
Because it's true anyway, even if it's unverified right. by people. It's not dependent on the verification of people for it to be true.
Right, it verifies itself.
It does, because it's true.
And it declares its truth to others.
Yeah, it's true if nobody believed it.
Right. By the same token, the world, everything in the world, we have to measure by the word to see if they are right or wrong.
That's right.
True or not.
That's right. That's a great point. And, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, my father was still alive. He brought it to my attention. It was in National Geographic that there was an archaeologist who was Jewish but claimed that there's no evidence that David, the king, actually existed.
Right.
Because they had not found any archaeological evidence. So this person believed that all the stories of David were just made up and told around the campfire. And my dad brought that to my attention, I said that person is just so ignorant to think that it's not true because archaeologists haven't found evidence. That just shows that there's a fault of the archaeologists of not having found anything, which actually the ABR, the Associates of Biblical Research out of Lancaster, they've found evidence of David that yeah. goes back way there. So even that statement that was made was not really true. But to think that the Word of God is not true because they couldn't find any evidence of it, that is just so arrogant when you think about it.
Yep. As if
they're the ones to decide for mm-hmm. the rest of the world mm-hmm. whether something's true or not.
And all those curses came to pass because they indeed did turn their backs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it talked about them having a king, and that's in Deuteronomy, and it was hundreds of years before they actually had a king.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, someday you're going to want a king, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and there was a song that God had Moses teach to Joshua and to the people at the end of his life that really kind of foretold the whole upcoming history of Israel. And he said, all these things are going to happen. You know, the people are going to reject me. They're going to go into captivity. I'm going to bring them back. But they're going to sing this song. They're going to remember this song, and this song will be a witness to them that I said from the beginning these things were going to happen, and they did. Now, the people themselves would be able to decide when and if it would happen in their lifetime, right?
Right, yeah.
Because they could decide, well, we're going to believe God. We're going to be faithful to the written word. We're going to obey in what God has said. We're going to keep the covenant. And then they would be fine as long as they lived and their children after them if they would believe it. But if they decided we're not going to hold to this covenant, then those things would have to come upon them because God does not make idle threats. He'd be a liar if those things didn't come to pass under the conditions that he set forth. So I'm thankful that in this administration we don't have a curse.
Yeah, right.
You know, very thankful. I mean, the only curse would be, you know, to someone that maybe decided never to believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't call that a curse, though, either. It just, they would just...
They're condemned directly.
Yeah, they would just be condemned for their unbelief. But there is no curse at this time. So nobody can say that if they see things that are similar to those things that are talked about in the law, if they would happen, that it's God that brought it upon them because of his anger with people. It you know, that's not the case. There is no curse in this administration.
Yep.
There's only natural consequences of what people do or don't do.
But
we have blessings that are spelled out and that are sure, and that we'll see those when we look at that next week. So thank you, Sid. Thank you for bringing those things up. Anybody else?
Hey, Greg. When you were teaching, you said, hey, you guys, what gods are you worshiping over there? I just started laughing. It's like, it just sounds so strange.
They did that, though.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense that they probably did, but it struck me as stupid and humorous at the same time.
Yeah. They did. Let's check out and see what do they do when they go to church, you know?
I guess it's the itching ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get curious or like in that incident with Baal Peor and Balaam.
Oh, yeah.
He had the young woman go invite the guys to their banquets and then say, oh, well, if you're going to eat this food, you have to bow down to our gods. And they said, okay, you know.
Okay.
And they did it. And then 24,000 of them lost their lives over that. But yeah, it seems silly, but they would say, let's check out what they're doing over there.
Yeah, that brings up another point. Back in Deuteronomy, he talked about wickedness. He said, the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Yeah, all wickedness comes from forsaking God. Mm-hmm. And God's definition of wickedness is not always what we imagine it to be. Because somebody could be wicked, but sense knowledge-wise could look great. Mm-hmm. But if they're forsaking God, they're wicked.
Yeah.
Or they're a God rejected.
Yeah, the word wicked means like worthless, right?
Yeah. Well, more, that's I think so, yeah.
It's not always actively malicious, but it's doing something right. that's just wrong and bad. That's worthless. You know, it's not profitable in any way.
And a lot of the times we look at what people do, but God looks more at what we believe in our hearts mm-hmm. more than even what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important to do, without a doubt. Says that in James, what's believing without works.
Yeah.
But just because somebody does something good doesn't mean they're a good person.
Yeah, they could be doing something good as a cover for the other stuff that they're doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, like with Jesus Christ, when he talked about them praying, he said, you're better off praying in a closet where nobody sees you. Mm-hmm. You know, it was between you and God.
That's right. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for joining us here, and it's been a wonderful evening. And look forward to continuing again next week. So until then, Doug and everybody, keep lumbanoing.
No, you keep lumbanoing.
Keep speaking in tongues and keep enjoying the good things God's done for us. For the abundance of all things, you're serving God with joyful hearts.
That's the way we should do it.
That's right, because he is so good to us. Okay, well, I'm going to close this up. God bless everybody. I love you.
Bye-bye.